Why would you drive 2 hours for a cheese sandwich from a Ziploc bag? Hello and welcome to Best Motorcycle Roads. I'm Tom.
I'm Todd. And together we have 65 years of combined motorcycling experience and 30 years of planning and riding motorcycle trips. We're here to share with you everything we've learned over those years.
Our goal at Best Motorcycle Roads is simple. Make your next motorcycle trip the best it can be. We'll dive into technology, planning, packing, the routes, other tips, and everything in between.
From essential prep to unforgettable routes, we've got you covered.
Before we kickstart today's journey, we ask you to sign up for our BMR Rider Alerts. It's our way of keeping you in the loop with the latest rides, tips, and stories. We promise no spam, only the essentials to enhance your motorcycle adventures. Join the BMR crew today. We'll put a link in the show notes. This segment about motorcycle gear reviews and tips we call the Toolkit. In the Toolkit today, we're going to talk about hydration systems. I'm not sure why I called it hydration systems. That sounds like a really technical engineering term.
I'm drinking out of my hydration system.
What is your hydration system of choice? You know, for me, since today, mine is a plastic bottle of water that's in the trunk that heats up to about 400 degrees.
Yeah, for me, it's a, I think it's Kariakin cup holder mounted on my handlebars, and I've got like a Yeti.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Yeti on there.
So that's kind of, there's like three different, kind of basically three different things.
Yeah.
The cup holder version, hydration packs, which is kind of like the Camelback style, mm-hmm. That you literally put in there. Sometimes they have them on their back. Sometimes people put them in a tank bag.
Oh.
And then the third one is one I've been researching and we can talk more about, is this bike mounted water bottle. So, but yeah, so the cup holder one, we can knock off easy. I mean, mm-hmm. Everybody's seen them, I think. It's just, yeah. Generally speaking, a ram-mounted ball mount,
yes.
Clamp, yeah. On usually the handlebars. Mm-hmm. Passengers, they'll usually throw another ball mount back on the grip somewhere so that they can have one. And it's just, you know, it's a big gulp holder, right?
I mean, yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, people use the Yeti or the super insulated cups just to keep the water cool.
I also use this one here. It's a Contigo, but it's, what I like is there's a straw in here when you flip it. Then you don't have to tip your head back to try and drink. You can just
good point.
Suck out of it.
That's
out
a
of
great
a straw.
Point, actually. Yeah, it is. Because, like, number one, not everyone has the full modular helmet. Right. Number two, modular helmet here. My favorite part is when you reach back and do this, and the wind grabs the modular helmet, and then pretty soon I'm, like, about ready to get yanked off the back of the motorcycle.
Yeah. So a straw is a good idea.
It is a good idea.
I know my wife, when she rides on the back, she's got, it's like a Yeti cup, but it's got the straw in it.
Right.
Maybe it's a Stanley cup now. I don't know. Everybody's using those. Well,
you have to have that.
Yeah, you have to. But, yeah, I think the straw idea is something you can just draw.
That's a good, yeah, because then, yeah, then you don't, that's, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah.
So. And then this third kind of is probably the most complicated of them all. It's combination of both. And what people are buying is the super insulated, like, gallon jug. Mm-hmm. And then they're kind of using a hydration pack style, like, bite valve. And they're running, up from, like, say, the passenger floorboard.
Really?
And then they'll run a tube up. Because then you don't have to refill it. Mm-hmm. And so you can pretty much get a day's worth of riding in and the ice won't melt. And then actually, I sent you that video of that mega Goldwing build.
Yeah.
And they actually had the hydration pack all the way in the back. They ran the tube all the way up front. And what they were saying was that they were getting hot water,
I was going to say.
And what the solution was that was not use the bite valve. And they actually pushed the water back.
All the way back. In,
yeah, and then started it over every time.
So that'd be a lot of
it's good for the lungs. You know, it'll be good for working the system, the breath system. So, but that's kind of the thing. A lot of there's that one that would, if it was down here, I mean, that's running that's pretty significant. This was built on a bike that was more into the iron butt lung term, so they really needed hydration. So I mean, you really do need to stay hydrated, you know, from a safety, it's just, we've talked about this many times, you get dried up, you know, and it's not good.
The wind blowing on you really just evaporates all the moisture off your body. And
well,
yeah.
And for me too, like I notice I get tired and I think sometimes I think I'm just getting tired and I think it's starting of dehydration, mm-hmm. you know, too. So
yeah. Ride-wise is the section we focus on planning and safety tips. So for the ride-wise section, we're going to talk about some road hazards.
Yeah.
You know, what do you need to be careful of? Well, in the Midwest, you know, there's, of course, you know, snow plows and they do salting and they do sanding of roads and
the water does freezing and then it does expansion.
Freezing expansion. You know, we have gravel shoulders, so there's really all kinds of stuff to watch.
Critters.
For. There's critters. There's deer.
Parts of the previous vehicle that was in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. So especially when you're in corners, mm-hmm. I've seen where. Excuse me, where a snowplow maybe had gone through that area and pulled a little gravel from the inside of the corner and, you know, kind of drug it out into the road. And you come into a corner and there's gravel there, sand, you know, left over. And
well, and in the rain, you know, so you're in a corner and sometimes the rain will push that water up. I know we're going to talk about the driftless here in a little bit.
Good point.
Wisconsin has the greatest secondary roads in all the states I've been in, but they also there's so many corners down at the bottom of these hills sometimes. So you'll get some of that runoff, and you'll get that gravel in there. And it, you know, 99% of the time, you should be just fine. But that 1% of the time, just enough to kind of scoot you a little. It'll scoot you. And so, yeah, you definitely want to be careful of that.
Yeah. And then, you know, in the Midwest, we have deer.
Yeah.
We have raccoons. We have possums. Especially at, you know, dusk or, you know, nighttime, you know, good lighting because they're out there and they're dumb. They cross whenever they want. They'll even run into the side of you. They, you know, and you have experience with that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. I mean, also just the way that they construct the roads, you know, they lay one side down and then they lay the other side down. And what you see too is in, you know, 2 years before they replace that road, there's a gutter down the middle, you know, like, which then makes everything worse because it freezes and expands again. So, but yeah, road hazards. And you'd mentioned this, I think, in the last podcast. But, you know, like that's is sometimes when I find myself using foot signals. If you see something on the right side of your bike, stick that right foot out.
Point
if you
to
see
it, yeah.
something
yeah.
on the left, put your left foot out. And if someone's pointing, sometimes people just look that way. Mm-hmm. But if you put that foot out, it's kind of like, hey, there's danger down below. And sometimes before I can even say it, I got my foot out. And I think it sometimes can be a better visual. And then it's helpful for the people that don't have the communicators.
Yeah,
that's kind of a common.
It's great. That's something that, you know, our group has done from the beginning, especially when we didn't have the communicators, is stick a foot out, you know, on the left side or the right side if there's something in the road.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Potholes. Buckles in the pavement from the heat, you know, and
just
freezing
anything, and you know, anything. Like just random stuff that people dropped out of their vehicle.
Yeah, we've seen all kinds of stuff laying on the road.
The next segment is what we call the mile marker. It's our story segment. For the mile marker today, I thought we'd talk about the driftless area. Now, when I say the word driftless, 80% of the time, people have no idea what I'm talking about.
I had only heard about driftless for the first time, maybe like within this last year. I'd never even heard
it's
that
it's been
term.
Around a little longer than that.
Well, I know, but I had never heard this term before.
Yeah, so the driftless is an area that covers Wisconsin, not all, but parts of Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois. Illinois.
There's not? No.
Okay.
Illinois.
Both of them. Both the Illinois. But, sorry, in those states, kind of in that area where they meet, it's... Because of the Great Lakes, when the Ice Age came in the last time, it actually was never touched by ice.
Okay.
And I believe there's one of two places in the world that this has ever happened in that last Ice Age. So the ground that you see in that area has not, it's not been overrun by the ground like that brought all the silt and soil.
Okay.
Because the kind of, if you think of the Great Lakes blocked it, it was coming from that way and it blocked it. And so it wrapped around but left that kind of pocket there. So if you go out to the driftless, if you do some research, it's wild, man. But there's caves, kind of funky sinkholes, cold streams because there's these ice caves that live down below them that were not filled in with stuff. But yeah, it's so cool for just ecosystems. Some plants and animals that live there don't exist anywhere else.
Really?
I know my niece, she studied at Luther College, and they call them these ice cave flues, and then there's these plants that live right where the limestone holes, where this cold air come out, and these plants can only live, like, in the Arctic, but because the temperatures are constant, like, 30 degrees that are coming out of the ground. Wow. And so these certain crazy plants, you know, it's just the neatest thing. Once you like see it, you can't unsee this whole thing, and it, you go down to this rabbit hole. But what it also did was made some amazing motorcycle roads because of all the turns and kind of different variations in ground. So not a lot of people living there. It's really cool. It's a great place to ride motorcycles, but yeah.
Yeah, so. I had never heard that term, driftless.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being talked about in school. You know, I mean, like, did I go to school?
Definitely didn't talk about it ever. But yeah, they've got a great little documentary out too. But when I think of the driftless, I also think of riding the alphabet in southwestern Wisconsin. All the county roads are letters instead of numbers. So everyone says, if you ever want to find a good road, just ride one that has a letter on it, which is all of them.
Yeah.
Just amazing raising there. In Iowa, one of the best roads, part of the Great River Road, is called C9Y. That's like just north of Dubuque at Balltown, kind of up into the like Gaze Mills, Lansing area. Great roads, overlooks.
I see like the letter C, number nine.
Yep,
nine
and then Y, the letter, back to the letter Y.
Gotcha, okay.
I think you took the Cassville Ferry. There's a ferry that crosses over from Iowa to Wisconsin. The coolest, I don't know, it doesn't take long, but like you ride up to this thing, you hit a button that says call for the ferry.
Call for the ferry.
And pretty soon she's coming back across. You park the bikes on it and you cruise across. And yeah, that's pretty cool too. Yeah.
Not a real big ferry.
No. A couple, cool. I don't know, probably six cars
maybe
total. Maybe not, maybe that many.
Yeah.
The KTM that Turk all let me borrow broke down and almost threw a tire in the driftless. So I think of that when I think of the driftless.
Yeah, true.
But we've also rode together up to the Mindoro Cut, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So there's a town near in Wisconsin called Mindoro.
And that's hand cut. It's like one of two hand cut passes through a bluff or through a mountain, right?
Yeah. Rock pass or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I can't remember how wide it is, but it's not super wide.
No, just
not
a couple,
30 feet probably.
No, it's two lanes, but it's just impressive that it was hand cut.
Yep. And
there's a nice, a sign placard.
Yeah, I think they said human and horse powered only.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's neat. I mean, and it kind of just comes up on you, and I think it's a bluff that just, I don't know what that's from. It's kind of just like a snake of rock, and they cut through it. It's cool. There's a little bar there that also serves like 300 different kinds of hamburgers in Mindoro. So. I always thought it was the greatest business idea ever, right? They had a hamburger. They've had like 12 things.
Yeah.
And then you can put one of them, you know, it's like, oh, it's the cowboy burger. It has an onion ring and barbecue sauce. Not to be confused with the Southwest burger that has onion ring and ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing, okay.
No, it's a cool place too. A little place there, but. And then one of my favorite of all time, I guess, things is something called the Slimy Crud Run.
You're making this up, right?
I wish I were. There's a website. So there's a place in Pine Bluff, Wisconsin to Leland, Wisconsin. And two times a year, the very first Sunday of May and the very first Sunday of October, kind of like an homage to opening the motorcycle season and closing the motorcycle season. And I've never been in a place where I've seen the variety of bikes that the Slimy Crud Run has. You'll see one of everything. And I mean that like every possible sport bike, cruiser, old bikes, new bikes, somebody made a bike, you know, like
rat bikes,
rat ride. Oh gosh, there's cool ones. And I think part of that is like, I don't know. I'm from Iowa, and I don't like to say too many good things about Wisconsin, but like the innovation in Wisconsin is the craziest thing ever. I mean, Harley Davidson started in Wisconsin. I think Indian started in Wisconsin. All these tractor companies started in Wisconsin. And my working theory on it is it gets so damn cold there in the winter. All they have to do is drink beer and sit in the shed and make stuff. But like the people up there Wisconsin is a huge motorcycle area. Mm-hmm. And they are into weird stuff. So you'll see Vespas. You'll see just the most odd things up there. Yeah. So it's kind of a ride from Pine Bluff to Leland. And then usually you're supposed to come back. I've never come back from Leland. I just went home.
It's a one day thing?
It's on the, yep, that one Sunday. I'd have to look up the times, but if you Google Slimy Crud Run, there's a website. And you'll see it.
The cheese sandwich? What was the cheese sandwich?
Well, that's the beauty. You go to the bar, the Sprecher's Bar in Leland, and you get a summer sausage and cheese sandwich. And it's, you know, of course, there'll be 700 motorcycles probably over. And it's just, there's no rules. There's no nothing. People just park, come in. And I mean, there's just, we'll have to go. There's so many people.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But yeah, you get a summer sausage and cheese sandwich on bread in a Ziploc bag.
So it's not a grilled cheese sandwich.
No. That'd be way too much work. Like, I'm not sure. Like, they probably will sell 2,000 sandwiches or more.
Jeez.
Like, yeah. It's kind of like if moonshine were in a town, you know, Moonshine, Illinois, we're in a town. But yeah, summer sausage and cheese. We're going to have to go for sure.
All right.
Yeah, this is good stuff. But it's beautiful. And the ride is wonderful and everything about it. So,
first Sunday in May.
First Sunday in May, first Sunday in October.
All right.
So I think that's May 5th this year, which is in about a month.
I'm not available that day.
Of course you're not. That's what you do this year. I didn't talk about another place, Rocky's Supper Club in Stoddard, Wisconsin.
Mm.
It's right across from the Thirsty Turtle.
Oh. All right. I've seen the Thirsty Turtle. I know where that's at.
The Thirsty Turtle's a bar in Stoddard, but across the street, I think we ate there. It's a supper club. Well, I mean, in Wisconsin, shocker, supper club.
Right. Supper clubs everywhere.
That was great. I mean, it's a great place to go.
So I've been there.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's possible.
I get confused.
I check my Google timeline.
I get confused a little bit. But yeah, if you ever get a chance to explore the Driftless, I just can't say enough good things about it. I would love to find a place up there and just, like, it'd be a good place to live.
Hmm.
And you like fishing. Like, the fishing is insane up there, too. Like, and it's these creek beds in these areas that's, like, yeah, it's just wild. Definitely check out the Driftless documentary. The podcast can be found on bestmotorcycleroads.com/podcast. All the information you need will be there. But you can subscribe on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple, Pocket Casts, and YouTube.
This is the interactive segment. We will be looking for input from you. We want you to send us your questions and suggestions for roads, topics, and anything else you have on your mind. So today's roadside Q&A comes from Kevin. Thanks, Kevin, for asking the question. And he wants to know, what is our advice for riders who are new to group riding and are considering joining a long-distance ride for the first time? That's a great question. But really, I have to say that, Kevin, make sure you show up ready to go. And when I say ready to go, make sure your tank is full of fuel. Don't show up with a half tank.
Right.
Or, you know, thinking you're going to stop right away and fill up. Fuel tank is full. Your water bottles are full. You know, hydration.
Yep.
Make sure you've already eaten. Don't show up hungry because you might start out with a 2 or 3 or 4 hour ride. You know, have some snacks, you know, close by, either in your coat pockets or in, you know, easy to reach places on your bike. Make sure you've done your safety checks. Check your tire pressures, your lights, your tire tread.
Yeah.
check your brakes, your oil level, your clutch and brake fluid. Really kind of go through your bike. Yeah. And then, that way you don't have to show up like you are a beginner. You can kind of show up a little prepared and ready to roll. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's good. And especially the safety check super much when you're like doing multi-day rides, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of local groups that do day rides. And, you know, I think it's important to get there early. I went on a group ride last year and, you know, I've been on group rides with us a number of times, but I had never went with that group. And everybody's group's a little different. You know?
Yeah.
Their communication, they like using CBs. Well, I couldn't hear them then. I didn't have a way to do that.
Yeah.
You know, they did a little safety check. And then, you know, like we've talked about before, they have one of their people in the front and one of their people in the back because that's what they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you just kind of have to, like, I think you were mentioning it, but, like, have a little meeting beforehand. Most kind of people that are going to do this know that it's a good idea to have that little meeting. Yeah. And I think that can't be understated. If you're doing one, just tell people how you like to ride, you know, and it's okay. And So yeah, that's one of the things. And they were like, I was getting a little shamed for not having a CB. So,
and they might talk about, you know, we're going to ride 120 miles and then look for fuel. You know, it might, you know, might they might discuss and that ahead of
the
time.
The expectation is you fill up with fuel before you go, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the group that I was riding in was almost all the same bikes. So then you were running the same mileage. So if you do have a bike that has a little bit short, you know, I'd say less than 120 miles, because generally speaking, people are going to ride. They're not going to want to get off. And so if you can't go 120, make sure you tell people, hey, I'm going to need fuel at this point, or I need to stop because, you know, whatever. So I think maybe just adding on to what you were saying, just communicate, you know, and think and listen and be aware. It's time for the last mile. It's kind of how we close out each episode with our reflections of what we talked about today. So, Todd, what's your reflection?
Well, the driftless area for me, I need to just, now that I know what it is and where it is, I just really pay attention and look for all the signs, because, and I don't mean
here's a sign.
I mean, you know, what that area looks like because of that driftless area and the lack of, I guess,
it's just kind of a hidden gem. Yeah.
Go through, you know, and flatten things out. But just kind of making myself aware of that now.
Yeah.
Because I do like to ride in Wisconsin.
Oh, gosh.
Those roads up there are fantastic.
Absolutely. For me, I would highly recommend one time getting to the Slimy Crud Run. It's wild. I mean, it's just classic Wisconsin. Like I say, nobody's worried if you're driving a Harley, a Honda, or a Huffy. nobody cares, you know, they really don't. And it's just, everyone's looking at everybody else's bikes, and it's a cool thing.
What's the distance of that ride?
It's like 17 miles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's nothing. Okay.
It's more just sitting around looking at bikes and enjoying each other. I see.
Absolutely. Okay. Now some bikes will bring there, you wouldn't want to ride more than 17 or so miles. So just so you know, like, there's going to be some Vespas, mopeds, bikes with hard tails, soft tails, you know, 1910s and a brand new, you know. One guy brings this thing called an RC7. It's an old Yamaha that was never, like, it was never really a production bike. So you'll see bikes that people are, they might even have license plates on some of them. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. If this episode revved up your day, don't keep it to yourself. Like, subscribe, and share it with your crew. We're all about the thrill of the ride and the bond it creates.
Keep the spirit of adventure alive, and remember, bikes, friends, and endless roads. The stories ride forever. Take care.